Welcome back. You're listening to Noise Legal Radio, a special show entitled Torture Canada, looking at Canada's complicity in torture. We were just listening to Yavar Hamid. He's a lawyer based in Ottawa, the lawyer for Abu Sofyan Abdulrazzaq, who, as he just described, was opportunistically renditioned. He is a Sudanese-Canadian. He's a dual citizen. But Canada took advantage of that to basically subject him to torture and subject him into a no-man's land that he's in right now, where he can't come back and be reunited with his loved ones and his family. Unfortunately, that's just a small clip because we have a lot more to go to, such as the second action in the series, Torture Canada, that the People's Commission into Immigration Security Measures has organized. And we're going to hear now from Mary Foster. Mary, we're going to hear about the case of Yvonne Apolazo-Sancho. And I guess Yvonne is sort of different in the sense that we often, in this context, since 911, talk about Arab, South Asian, Muslim men, and he is a Basque from the Spanish state. And yet, it's not an exception. And I'm wondering if you could explain the significance of Yvonne Sancho's case. For the listeners who don't know, I mean, in previous shows, we've talked about Yvonne, and he's spoken on No One's Legal Radio. He's currently in detention. He's probably listening right now. So if he is, hello, Yvonne, we're thinking of you. He's in detention at Rivière de Paris prison. So what is the significance of Yvonne's case?
I think it's really important to underline Yvonne's case, for one, because he's not Muslim, and he's not South Asian, as we usually associate these kind of cases. And it just goes to show about this, how this undercover, this general fear about terrorism, Canada's able to, in this case, aid its allies in measures of political repression, in this case, Spain. Yvonne's case is really typical for the way in which Canada uses immigration law loopholes to hold people in indefinite detention and to threaten them with torture. So, for example, in Yvonne's case, because he's being accused of being a member of the ETA, which Canada has on its terrorist list, he can't claim refugee status, which is, you know, a universal right that everyone is supposed to have, and Canada always prides itself on its respect of human rights. But here is this guy who's not even allowed to apply for refugee status in Canada because of these immigration measures. His case is important because he's detained, and he's also threatened with deportation on the basis of information that itself was produced under torture in Spain. And that's not just us claiming that. The actual Canadian government, the IRB, has recognized that, yeah, it's this information that's being used against him was most likely produced under torture. But nevertheless, we're going to keep him in detention and we're going to continue to try and deport him. Even though from the very fact that this other person who's in Yvonne's situation, in the situation Yvonne will be in Spain, was tortured, means that it's likely that Yvonne himself will be tortured, Canada is still continuing these deportation proceedings.
And Yvonne's legal recourses are coming to an end. We learned earlier in the week, and this is why I think the Torture Canada action happened. I saw it where, as a theatrical gesture, people put plastic bags over their head, because this is the torture that is practiced in Spain, commonly widely acknowledged by human rights organizations. But in any case, Yvonne's legal recourses are coming to an end because his motion for habeas corpus was rejected. And basically, what we have here is a pattern, which is dual standards. If you're a citizen, you have some rights, and if you're not, you have other rights, although some of these rights are basic fundamental human rights. And now we're learning that Yvonne's pre-removal risk assessment has been rejected. I had a chance to speak with Yvonne earlier in the week, and one of the first questions I asked him, and he's quite open about this, was, you know, how he was feeling and about the prospect of literally within potentially days, if not weeks, that he'll be sent back. So let's hear that clip from Yvonne right now.
I can say that I'm scared, and in front of the possibility of being tortured, no, I don't think that nobody can feel very confident in a situation like that. And I don't know, I feel, not very well. What else can I say? That about being deported to Spain, and it's not only the torture, no, the torture is a big problem, of course, but it's also the conditions that the Basque prisoners they have in Spain and in France too. And it's also the big sentences that they are giving for whatever, not even if you don't even commit a crime, they say that you are member of, even if they didn't prove anything, you are member of a political party that is illegal now, and you can face 10 years in jail. I can face 20 years in jail. I don't know. Not very well.
Yvonne, there are certain principles that you've highlighted and your lawyers have highlighted and your support campaign have highlighted. One of them is, of course, the fact that the so-called evidence against you was obtained under torture. We haven't even actually seen evidence. It's just the word of somebody who has been tortured, and that principle is a very disturbing one, the fact that we could rely on torture evidence to deport you. But the other principle here is the idea that somehow you, sitting in prison, don't have the same rights as, say, me, who's here simply because you came from another country and I was born here and have citizenship. And I'm wondering what you feel about that principle, the idea that habeas corpus, which is a long-standing tradition within the legal system, basic right, we're not even talking about something very radical here, doesn't apply in your case. I'm wondering if you could speak to that and how you feel about that.
Yeah, it's like you say, it's the habeas corpus, but it's not only the habeas corpus too. In immigration cases, they don't have even to prove anything. It's only some, how do you say it? It's not only, you don't have to show any proof. You don't have to prove that you are guilty. They only can have a suspicion that that's enough. Then with citizens, that in theory, it's not like that. But like you say, things like that, habeas corpus, then I feel like immigrants, not only in Canada, everywhere, we are becoming, or we are, second-class persons.